This is resources and ideas, okay? And what we're going to do here, I think just kind of do kind of a sharing thing. What we'd like to do is just take each aspect, each principle of the ministry that we've talked about this week to begin with. We'll start it off that way, starting off with leadership, family, touch ministry, discipleship, and joy explosion, and talking about some of those different spin-off ideas that can come out of that, and then we'll just move into some general things, maybe some things in the area of management or other seminars are available or time management. Ryan's going to talk to us about that. So that's perfectly okay. So we'll just kind of do it that way, and then you all will probably have some ideas that you can throw out. I think the one thing that I think is really important here is that we understand again, and just kind of say this as we start, that it's not just grabbing ideas out of the air and throwing them into practice in your church that's really going to help your ministry. It's not just taking ideas and because it worked for one guy means it's going to work for you. I think it's really important to have as many things at your fingertips as you possibly can, so that you'll have a wide range from which you can pick and choose. But I think it's really also very important that you grasp hold of the fact that it's God who needs to determine what is going to take place in your church ministry. And some of these ideas aren't worth a ding dong, even if they're good ones, if they're not really guided by the Lord and really motivated by Him and He's leading your church or your situation, whatever it happens to be, to do those ideas. So with that in mind, we can jump right on it. Let's just take the leadership family aspect first, and we'll just have each one of our distinguished panel here to share a couple of ideas that they've done on that have been kind of different from what we've been talking about. And then we'll maybe you'll have some questions on that particular aspect of it, and then we'll move on to the next thing, okay? And we'll just start with Lamar. Go ahead. Why don't y'all just pull a chair up here so they can keep scooting around and stuff. Oh, boy.
Right. The three students.
Like I said, this seminar's been canceled. Right. Hey, if you're going to buy this tape, don't, okay? Go ahead.
Hello. Breaker 19. Anybody out there?
That's even good.
Oh, that's quite observant, Davis.
Move on.
We should be sharing.
Leadership family. Yeah. You got it.
Our leadership family, I'd like to share away with you, after you have your first one, the way you can find people to go through the next one. And we did something that really worked out well. About on week 10 of the leadership family, we began to ask our people to pray about other people that they knew who would like to go through the leadership family. You know, the leadership family is not really something you do a lot of recruiting on. You don't want that. You don't want every, smoking deacon you got in there, although it wouldn't be a bad idea. But you want people that are willing to make a commitment. And so they invited one couple or two couples or however many they wanted to come to a supper that the leadership family prepared for them. We had a guy that barbecued some venison and some meat, other meat, and all the ladies made a big thing of potato salad and a big thing of beans. And after church, on our last night, the last night we had, they all came together and we ended up with about 55 people there at this dinner. And I talked very briefly on the Lordship of Christ. It was briefly on the Lordship of Christ, and then covered the different aspects of the leadership family, what we'd be doing. And then we just had a testimonial time where everybody that had been through the leadership family stood up and testified what had happened in their life, what were the major changes and things that they saw about it. Consequently, out of that 55, we had 40 people who made the commitment to come into the leadership family. And that worked real well with us. And so that meant I had to use some of my lay people to lead leadership families, which is not the best route to go, but we were kind of boxed in. I had some men who were real teachers and were really committed to the Lord who had gone through that group of nine, and one of them was a guy who had been in the ministry and some other things there, and it worked out real well.
You want to add to that?
No.
Okay, one of the things.
Seriously.
I mean, we're just talking about different resources and creative ideas that we've used, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, nothing in particular in leadership family that I've done. It's...
Okay, Ron, anything y'all done?
No.
Okay, not anything that's out of the ordinary, but we'll talk about the rest of the week.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things that we've done in our church that I found to be really exciting thing is in the group that Rod and I are in a group now. We've done this in some other groups, is to take them. And I don't know whether you all mentioned this earlier this morning or earlier in the week when you were in your group or not, but to take them on a trip of some sort as you begin. I think this is really an extremely positive idea, because in terms of relationships of one person to the other person, if you go off on a trip for a weekend or a week or a day or just a half or whatever it happens to be, then you can enhance the personal relationships by about 6 or 8 weeks. You won't get to that place if you just start meeting on a week, hour, 2 hour basis every week. You won't get to that till you're about the sixth or eighth week. But if you take them off on some kind of an experience together early, then it'll really enhance those personal relationships. There are all kinds of possibilities there. One of the things we did is we went to a monastery, a Catholic monastery there in outside of Atlanta, and spent the night. We went out there and ate the monks' cookies and drank Cokes and sat around and just talked. We didn't have any kind of program or anything like that planned. But it was really a valuable time together. Before, we've just taken some half-day times, just getting away for a half-day experience or whatever, and just spending that time together and enjoying that fellowship together. So, there are all kinds of things that you could do here. You can go on a overnight retreat. You could go on a, one of the guys that we work with is taking his leadership family on a backpacking trip. Just several things along that line. Now, I don't know, another idea here on the leadership family that we talked about a little bit in our group this morning, the advanced group, is that the possibility, and this is kind of a spin-off of this thing, is the possibility of using college students in the summer in your ministry. Did you all talk about that any in your groups? Did you all talk about that any? A lot of the schools now are having J terms, June, July, and January terms, and boy, this is a tremendous opportunity to utilize some college students either in your own church or out of another church, kids that are really interested in being involved in the church and really looking for something to do, you can really, really utilize them in a tremendous way. Two things happen. One is that they're able to really help your church, for one thing, using them to do things like surveys, census-type things, developing a lot of prospects, using them in personal evangelism, using them in personal work with kids, and developing relationships with kids in the community, doing things like evangelistic socials and different things like that. There are all kinds of possibilities there in terms of utilizing them in your ministry. But we've also found this, and I think this is all a part of it, even though... In your local situation, you never see the results of this. You have a tremendous impact on their lives when they can come into a church where God is really doing something and see that. Because so many students that I run into have grown up in a churches that are just pretty much dead, or they're so small that church really, they have never really been able to see a vision of what God could do in a church situation, and it really begins to give them a vision of what God can do through the church. I think one of the reasons we've lost a lot of kids in the past is because they haven't seen that the church is really relevant and that they could really minister through the church in order to get the job done in the ministry. And so that's a possibility. We've done that also in the January term, where kids come in for a month and do the same types of things. So that's an idea. Might be an idea for you, Jim, as far as maybe from the other end, in terms of getting students out into some churches during those times. And incidentally, we've got worked out with a couple of schools where kids get credit for this. They get an hour or two credit by going to a church during that month of time, or during that summer experience. So that's got, and that might have some real possibilities in your situation. So just, of course, from the other end, from getting them out. Of course, the church is trying to take them in, but if you get hooked up with some churches where they were really, really doing some things, then that would be a real positive experience.
Where they'll have a good experience.
Yeah.
We just have some churches inquiring about internships.
I think it's real, real important here, too, that they get in a church where beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the experience they're going to have is going to be a positive one. Where maybe some guys that you've worked with, maybe getting them in a church like Strickland's Church, Church on Brady or something like that. Right. Church on Brady or something like that. So that's an idea. Okay, let's see if you got any, maybe you've got some ideas out of this that maybe you've tried with students or in your leadership family situation or whatever. Got any ideas on that? Anything that you all would like to share? I want to give you, make this as much of a discussion as possible. So if you got any ideas there, just go ahead and throw them out. Anything? Jim, you got something there?
Nothing to share. Question. If you fellows know of other sources, books, that would be significant in terms of the philosophy of a leadership family or something like that, I'd appreciate knowing what you've read along those lines. That would be significant. I know there's nothing on the leadership family, but something which would deal with the philosophy of leadership and discipleship.
Okay, well, one book that's in our material that we require people in the leadership family to read is Spiritual Leadership by Oswald Sanders, which is a tremendous book. Tremendous book.
Disciples Are Made, Not Born.
He's covered Bruce Larson's books, relational type things, The Longest Trainers.
Be the Leader You Were Meant to Be by Leroy Himes is, I think, one of the best.
Setting Men Free by Larson Bell.
And another by Leroy Himes, Whatever Christians Should Know About Growth. Those two are just super.
With that one on, Disciples Are Made, Not Born, I was just thumbing through that before on the plane coming over here. I've read it before, but there are some tremendous insights in that book in terms of developing people in discipleship for leadership.
We took our leadership family through that, just kind of a side thing, giving one this last time.
Really is good. Victor Books publishes that. It's Walt Hendrickson?
Heinrichson
is how you say that. Like I was saying, it's Walt Heinrichson. Victor Books.
Isn't
that skewed?
I think there are some, Max Barnett and Oklahoma, their Foundation Library, I think they got some very good things along that line, too. You may be familiar with those. And by the way, speaking of resources and ideas, that is a very, very good resource. Foundation Library's got over 6,000 tapes. They can send you a catalog, pick out there what you want. It's a loan library where you borrow the tape, they even let you run it off when you get it home.
You can borrow it or buy it.
Borrow it or buy it, or whatever you want to do with it. And loan them out. If you want the address on that, that's 435 West Boyd Street, B-O-Y-D, Norman, Oklahoma.
Right, it's in the leadership family.
They can't see it on the tape anyway, Mary.
Oh, yeah. 435 West Boyd, okay.
All right. Did that spark any, those things spark any other ideas or questions about the leadership family? We'll go on from there. If not.
Anything else? By the way, Sanders has a couple of other books called, I have not read them. I'm recommending them by the fact that somebody else has recommended them to me. Spiritual Maturity and Our Spiritual Clinic. And both of those in the bookstore here. And both of those are very good. One is Our Spiritual Clinic is on dealing with the with problems in discipleship. I think that's the subtitle of it. So Jimmy, you may be interested in that one. Okay, let's go on to the other thing. Let's talk about spinoffs on the Touch Ministry, some things they've done. Lamar, why don't you start with that and tell them about the Bible thing y'all did.
Okay. We had an individual in our community. He's not even in our community, but he saw the work of our church, what was happening in evangelism. He came to us one day and asked us if he said he wanted to put a Reach Out New Testament in the hands of every high school student in the city. We have five 4A high schools in our district, four that we minister to, and we'd be responsible for those four. And we jumped at the opportunity and said yes. He bought the Bibles. We took them door to door and delivered them. Our people did. And I took a brief survey, found out if the people there were active, inactive, if they were a member of a church, information like that. The next year I went back to him and just told him, I wasn't going to ask him for anything, but we sure had a lot of intermediate kids that needed the same thing. And he responded by saying he wanted to buy a Reach Out New Testament for every intermediate school, and 13 of them with kids in it. So we did that. Then I went back to him and told him that we had 51% of people in our community that live in apartment complexes. And what could we put in the apartment complexes in every unit? And he called me back a couple of weeks later. He said, I don't know, but whatever you find to do, I want to do it. And we've not been able to do that yet. We're shooting at it. Right now we're involved in taking care of the sixth graders who've just promoted up this year, and we'll deliver those Bibles during the summer. You never know if you've got, you may have somebody in your community that might be able to do that. You're talking about $1.20 for those New Testaments.
You're talking about Good News?
No. Oh. Reach Out, New Testaments. It's the Living Bible, I think it's the same thing. They've got it now in a real thin version. It's about that thin. And we've seen just a lot of things happen. Go to school and you see kids that you never even thought about reading a Bible, have that thing with their books at school, reading it, this sort of thing. So we didn't ask for that, but we're just going to lay that in our lap. And then we asked for some stuff.
Okay. Anything else? Anything else you want to add?
As I was sitting here holding this microphone, so I was sitting here and listening to Lamar, I was just trying to think back through some of the things that I'd heard guys do or we had done. As school's approaching a close for the year, one of the things that I thought was really neat that I'd had several guys do, heard of several guys do, was have a School's Out concert as part of their Touch Ministry, where they would just get a vacant lot or someplace near the school, or even if the church is near the school, or someplace where they can just set up and have an outdoor concert, just a free open party kind of thing on the last day of school. As kids go in your area, they may go a half a day on that last day or something like that, and if you're set up near there and maybe have some free Cokes or in my case, orange juice or water. Set it up on the lawn and have free entertainment. Just have some good gospel music, contemporary Christian music that kids would enjoy, and just have it out there on the lawn somewhere. And I have a friend that had some really good response to that. Now, you may need to be involved a little more in a Touch Ministry to have the kind of response for kids to know that it's going to be worth checking out. I don't know. But that That's one idea, as school comes to a close here, that might be of some value.
I shared three of y'all in my group this morning, so some of the things that I shared this morning that after we're here. Apartment complexes are big in our area of Houston. I don't know whether they're big in wherever you are or not. There are a lot of them around us. And one of our target areas is an apartment complex. In the summer, we've gone over there and had pool parties. We had about 8 complexes, pool parties where we cook hot dogs outside and popcorn and that kind of stuff. And then we'd take an Andre Cole film, which you can get from Campus Crusade for Christ. It's really a dynamic tool of evangelism. And just set that screen up right there beside the pool and start showing that film. And we had kids coming just by the flies, you know, that's just, just droves coming in. And I sit down around that, around the projector. And it was real successful. We did that one summer. And we just did it one week after another in different apartment complexes. Just had that kind of party deal. We've been using the recreation ministry as a real touch ministry. Getting to really develop that. We got a guy working with us who's getting a degree in recreation. He's just doing a terrific job. We got a lot of high school guys coming shooting basketball now. They're not Christians, and we're having a real opportunity to share with them. Most churches use their rec facility for their own kids. They don't use it in outreach, touch ministry. We desire to use ours for a real outreach and touch ministry. We're in the process of setting up intramurals between the various apartment complexes. And we'll give away trophies and this type of thing. We'll go in there and do some advertising. I believe we'll get 3 to 4 teams from every apartment complex. And in the process, be able to share with those kids as they work out. We'll furnish the coaches. And I'm, of course, doing managers and coaches. I'll be the other people.
Senior citizen complex over there. You're going to be working with next.
Check out the equipment needed that. But we have things like skating parties for the kids in apartment complexes too, in our gym and everything. Just things like this. The rec thing. We'll give some trophies away at the end of the whatever we'll be doing. Volleyball, basketball, whatever. And,
okay, one of the areas I think in school life that I've always been interested in, it's kind of my natural inclination has been athletics, and I've worked with several of the athletes in the school close to the community where I live, and one of the resources there, which there are a lot of different things you can do with kids in terms of athletics, going to ball practice and all this kind of stuff that you all probably talked about in your touch ministry thing this morning. But one of the things that I've used and some good material, some real positive tools to reach athletics is from the Institute of Athletic Perfection. I've got the address up here. Let me give it to you. You may be interested in that. They've got some little booklets called Three-Dimensional Athlete and Total Release Performance. And then they've got a couple of books on Handbook of Athletic Perfection and Handbook on Coaching Perfection. All these are geared toward presenting Christianity from the athlete's and coach's point of view, which is extremely significant, maybe not to you, but to them. And what we've done is I've tried to share that with it's on there somewhere. I've tried to share that with at least one of the coaches at our school. Was a Christian coach, and he's picked up on that thing and just used a lot of material out of the books for inspirational talks and motivational talks to his team. Just as I loaned him the books that I'd ordered. We gave out to the football team about their 8th or 9th game. They were moving toward the state championship, a defeated team, and they were really, really moving, had a big game that particular week, and just a couple of days before the game, we gave them a little book of Total Release Performance, how they could really be, how they could really be 100% the athlete that they needed to be, which, involved a commitment to Christ. And so it was really a was a real positive thing. And the guys on the team were, for several days were talking about, you know, having that thing and reading through it. It's very interesting, the response. Obviously, every one of them read through the book and had some kind of comment to make to me about it. That may be a helpful tool to you.
We use that. I didn't have that good relationship with the football coach. I was more working with the basketball coach, but I had a guy in my church who was on the team, and I gave him, I said, here, read this, and asked me, you know, let me know what you think about it. He read it, and about 2 days later he came back and said, can I have some of those books? And I said, yeah, how many do you need? He said, 85. And I said, what are you going to do? He said, I want to give one to everybody on the team. So I got him, and he shared that thing with everybody on the team, gave it to him. No, football team. And
that spread to the University of Georgia. Really? Y'all hear about that?
No, I haven't.
I didn't know if that was part of it or not. Was it?
No. Oh, no. I don't think, but the, yeah, I know what you're talking about, and that and a lot of guys on the mm-hmm. team were Christians. And is that on the football team? Is it, yeah, yeah.
Just something. Talk about that. A couple of guys I knew that, that surprised me, but they were influenced by that. Mm. They were tech fans, and they, I think it was with over Georgia.
Yeah, right with the Lord and sort of supporting Georgia.
Amen. Brother came in.
You know, I think talking about the touch ministry along these lines, you've got a lot of different factions in schools these days. You know, just because you reach the average, doesn't mean you reach everybody in school now. It used to be true, but it's not true now, especially in the cities. But at the same time, athletes are really different from most other people in the school in their schedule and the way they spend their time and this kind of thing, especially during the season. And if you really are going to touch them through the touch ministry, you have to go out of your way to do it, I think. Not that they're a special breed, but you have to go out of your way if you are going to touch them.
We were at the Fellowship of Christian Athletes at Stratford, which is right next to us. Yeah, the head coach is a real fine Christian. He lets me speak there anytime I want to. It's a good opportunity. And the junior varsity team works out in our gym. I made a deal with them that they could work out our gym if I got to speak. Share Christ with them once a week, and give him 5 to 10 minutes a week, which he does. So, in exchange for our gym.
Okay, any questions on the touch ministry aspect thing? Maybe some things that you've tried that have worked in this area that would be helpful to us here. What do you think? Any questions or any ideas that you have? Y'all got anything else here?
We're going to try this summer. It's new. Once a week, we're going to go to. We've got several big swimming pools, and we're just going to go to the swimming pool and swim all afternoon, and try to share on a quality basis one-on-one with kids. Doing that, we go to the pool halls and that sort of thing. We did a deal in a park called a Pulpit in the Park, where we just preached a crusade out there. I guess we had a group to come in and play, and. Some pretty rock gospel music and a big swimming pool. Just as the swimming pool was letting out, we'd start it, they'd play, and we'd preach. And we had a lot of real good results. But we'd established a touch ministry in the park all summer at night, going out talking to the dope heads and this sort of thing. So,
one of the things we're going to do this summer is we're using college students in strictly a sharing ministry. Touch ministry, that's all we'll be doing, and we'll be responsible for any other activities at church or anything like that. We've got part-time jobs, and they work full-time for us. And one of the things that's really big around our area of the town is bicycles. High school kids riding bicycles all over the place. And we're going to put these kids on some bicycles. One of the things we've noticed is that they, at night, they gather, in the summer, they gather around streetlights. I don't know if that happened anywhere in the office place, but they just gather by droves on the streetlights and talk. And these kids are just going to ride up and just get to know them. Just a little bicycle type.
Your staff's going to wear a little black pants, white shirt, black tie.
Yeah,
we're looking for a lot of really sharp ideas of how to share your faith. And this is a very dynamic.
dynamic and lively, hot boy.
George Worrell has a book out, How to Take the Worry Out of Witnessing, that is real good. And it also has a discussion guide, leader's guide with it, that you can use it in a training session with your young people. It's a very practical book. W-O-R-R-E-L-L.
It's published by Word?
Word, yeah.
Broadman.
Okay, Broadman.
Broadman, yeah. Okay, any other input on the touch ministry aspect of this thing? Okay, let's go on to the next one. Let's talk about discipleship ministry. We'll start again. So, Rod, you want to start this time?
Okay, I think we probably, in our group, we've hit this pretty hard, and I'm sure the other groups have too. The real key to discipleship ministry here is quality time and spending time with students. So I think anything you can come up with to creatively spend good time with those kids in discipleship groups or that you're discipling is useful. Some ideas to keep it from being a sterile classroom situation. Is the real key. And that gets us back to what Barry was talking about with leadership family and maybe taking some retreats, doing fun things together. Sometimes, you know, it's a real spiritual thing to do is go to a ball game together or something. You know, that can be a real spiritual time. You don't have to have a lot planned. It's just a good time to be able to get to know each other, to spend some time outside of meetings together. Prayer retreats, a one-night prayer retreat can go a long way in getting to know some kids there, getting to know some good stuff about them. So maybe that kind of gets us started. These other fellows may have done
something. While we're on that, I'd come back to the thing about the trips. Reiterate that for kids, that's got a real place with kids. I remember about 3 years ago when I first started the discipleship group of high school students, those guys, well, I took them on, I was going to a retreat in Gatlinburg, and we took two cars up there, and I took all these guys with me, made an arrangement before I went with the guy who asked me to speak and all that, and I took all these guys with me. And those guys, when they see me, they still talk about us 3 years ago. Remember the time we went up to Gatlinburg? That was just really a meaningful time for them. Although really, we didn't do anything. I mean, I didn't have anything planned. We just kind of went to the retreat. We hung around together and talked, walked through Gatlinburg, you know. So, I mean, big deal. I think a lot of times we think we've got to have the thing so organized that if, you know, that if it's, you know, if we don't have every minute planned, then it's going to be a waste. And I see, too, retreats, while we're on that particular idea, I see the retreat idea being one in which you don't have to have 40 or 50 kids to make a worthwhile retreat. I think you can take 5 or 6 kids off on a, you know, an overnight deal, or, you know, this weekend, maybe 5 or 6 kids the next weekend, or, you know, whatever is fair enough for what you're doing. I see that as a real, real good possibility.
One thing that we've found to be real effective in developing discipleship group is letting them get involved in a ministry project. One of the things we did was get involved in the home of the elderly there in Houston. One group went practically every week as a group, ministered to those people. And it was really exciting thing. And drew the group together. And one of the things that I'm doing some personal discipleship myself. I'm not doing a group. But every time I go somewhere, in fact, I was going to bring a guy up here with me, the school work and let him come this week. I take somebody with me. I've really found that it's a valuable time. If I can... it's no real big hassle to take somebody to a conference with you or to a retreat. And all of us, and many of you, I'm sure, do various retreats or take short trips for various reasons. And it's just really something for a guy to be able to travel with you, you know, on just a one-to-one basis. They really think that's something they get a lot of, and it does a lot for us, too, you know, to have a personal time. We have a place right outside of Houston called Touch Ranch, and we use it we're using it more and more now. In fact, the other week they just went up for an overnight stay with some of our kids. We stayed on, just went up Friday night, spent the night, set up late, you know how they like to do, and then stayed there all day Saturday, cooked out and everything. And we got more accomplished in that time, I think. And in fact, I know we get more accomplished in that time than we spent up there than we do any other thing to do as far as group dynamics or anything.
I think just as we pass on to Lamar here, I'd just say that it doesn't have to be anything that I plan along that lines too. I can. The other day I went to ship some books that I had to ship to a guy. I called a fellow that I try to spend a great deal of time with during the week, who is a new Christian, and called him, and he went with me to mail some books. It was going to take about a half an hour to drive over there and back, so there was an hour on the road that I'd just be by myself. You know, I could do some good things, some good thinking and stuff along the way, but I could take him and we could have a good hour in together there that was proved to be a real profitable time for us that day. So it doesn't have to be anything in particular, just keeping people with you that you're trying to spend time with.
I think the only thing that I would add is, you know, they're just... a lot of things that you're going to come up with as you do it, just natural things that the Lord's going to give you, you know, lights are going to flash and bells ring and you're going to say, hey, that'd be a good idea. And you'll do it and you might never do it again, but with that particular group, that might be a good thing. One thing we have done in our church and our discipleship families, in order for somebody to be in a discipleship family, they've got to make a commitment to share what they learned with someone else at the end of that time. And using the green notebooks, it's real easy to do that. Because you help them, you pair them up, usually high school kids with junior high kids. And then junior high kids, those that are doing it, there's usually somebody else, another junior high friend they have a pretty good influence over that they find. And we find this just works real well. I'm not about to tell you we have 100% you know, follow through with that. But we find that it's really helping our kids begin to look outside their group, begin to look for people to share with. And in some situations, it's just been fantastic. They've gotten things crossed to their own peer group that I would have never gotten across to.
One thing a friend of ours is doing that I thought was a pretty good idea, it takes some work to carry it off and carry it out effectively. But one of his requirements for a kid in a discipleship group is that they do, like you were talking about, Lamar, pass along the information to another person. But the way he does his is that each young person is required to spend 15 minutes each week in Bible study with another student that is not in the discipleship group. And he writes up the Bible study for them. Now, there are some Bible studies on the market that are good, that are simple enough that a student can lead another student through it. And 15 minutes is not much time, but they're required to have another student out of the school or somewhere going through a Bible study. And he said it is really surprising to see how many of these kids are doing it with pagan kids from school, saying, hey, would you meet with me 15 minutes this week? And they'll sit down and go through a Bible study for 15 minutes. He said the Bible studies are real, real simple. But in some way or another, at the time I taught with him, he was having 300 kids involved in Bible study every week in the community. Hmm. Now, that's shallow Bible study for some of them, but at least it's sometime in the Word, and your kids in discipleship groups are beginning to get a vision of how to pass it on to somebody else in some way or another. And, boy, I'm committed to this thing of kids having a vision beyond their youth ministry at their church. That way, when they go away to college, they did more than follow the youth minister around. They were doing something on their own, and they're not stuck off in the dorm wondering what to do and go across the hall and say, would you spend 15 minutes in Bible study with me? And that's a start. Good idea. What am I?
Good. Anything else? Anything along that line that you all want to go around? Any questions or anything on the touch ministry? I want you to feel free to do that. You
mean?
Larry?
Barry, I'm about about a month ago, I tried something. It turned out to be a disaster, and I don't know. I know what happened, but I didn't understand it.
It was a disaster.
Yeah.
I thought I never recognized it myself.
I was in contact. I got together with two churches in Savannah. Our kids have really developed a boldness in wanting to share their faith with other kids. So I was in conversation with two guys in Savannah at their churches, and so we agreed to get together for Friday night, Saturday lock-in.
Disaster.
But the three of us got together 2 weeks beforehand and really laid that thing out. Boy, everything was planned right down to the wire. And there was no reason for it to fail if it had been followed strictly, you know, a schedule. But when we got together, our kids started trying to mingle with their kids, trying to share with them, and blew it. It just fell apart. The other two guys had no control over their kids whatsoever. And the ones that wanted to share, our kids cornered them off in another room over there. And the rest of it just turned into pure bedlam. And it stayed that way all night long. I stood up and shared and witnessed and talked and sang. And I felt like I was in a room full of cats with rocking chairs, you know. Because nobody, it just fell apart. And our kids came home with, you know, with their chins down like this and said, "Where did we fail?" And brother, it shook us up.
I tell you what, I think there's a good lesson to be learned there, and I've been right there myself, and that's the lesson of a faithful man, principle. Well, I'm just not committed to doing a camp or a conference or anything like that with God that I don't know, that I've got the same, that we're going in the same direction, having the same purpose together. It didn't turn out like that every time. We sponsored a few of those. Well, we've got some guys who didn't have the same idea, and they bring their kids with a totally different idea, even though we planned the thing together. But we weren't together.
Right. There was a spiritual gap as far as the guys, you know, the three of us were concerned, and there was no doubt about that at all. And they just didn't seem to care. They turned their church into a rock concert. That's what it boiled down to.
You know. And it's not a matter of, you know, I'm more spiritual than they are or something like that. I think it's just a matter of going in the same direction. And if you're not going in the same direction as your ministry, then you know, it is going to be pretty much a disaster.
You can sure tell the difference on the depth of the kids. You can usually tell by their leader, you know, what as far as the direction they're going in. And if he's really working on getting his life together and really interested in deeper things, discipleship and this type of thing, it always reflects itself in the kids. It's just that way.
Well, there was nearly, I would say probably 115 kids involved in this thing. And out of that, maybe 8 were really concerned from these other two churches to sit down with our kids and let them share with them. And the kids that came up to the room to sit down and really share with us, that our kids, you know, that went around behind them trying to drag them, but it turned out that they were more concerned for their leaders than they were for themselves, because they knew there was a shallowness there that needed to be filled.
Your kids can probably learn a lot out of that too.
Right, brother. That not only the kids, but me.
You're here to help.
One one recent book that I read on discipleship that I found very, very helpful and interesting, especially for some good illustrations on discipleship. It's called Disciple by Juan Carlos Ortiz. I don't know if any of you have seen that book or read it or not, but very, very good book. Disciple by Juan Carlos Ortiz. Turn the tape off. He's a Pentecostal.
Book resource forward. I guess we're just kind of knocking back and forth here on resources and stuff that I'm in the process of going through now. That it's a good book. It's by Carl Wilson, called "With Christ in the School of Disciple Making," or within the School of Disciple Building. with Christ in the School of Disciple Building. Carl Wilson, and it's published by Zondervan. Okay,
I'll go first. Forgive my ideas.
Go ahead.
A couple of other one of the books, The Dynamics of Personal Follow-Up. Some of you have seen that book by Kuhn, K-U-H-N-E. And there's another idea. I ended up down there somewhere. Some of you are interested in getting your pastor involved in some areas of discipleship, particularly out here in the West. Jim is involved. You may want to talk with him, with a fellow named Billy Hanks, who does seminars on discipleship. And those are very, very helpful and are very much along the lines of what we're talking about this week, only they're geared toward the pastor and the layman in the church more than toward the youth worker, the youth sponsor, and the kids. So that may be a helpful resource in discipleship for the future. You may want to say something about
a very significant book along the line of the pastor and discipleship from Southern Baptist Pastor. It's Waylon Moore's book on New Testament follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the granddaddy. That was first published back in 1964, I believe, something like this, which is a little older than the rest of this.
Why don't you give them Billy's address so in case they want to get an idea of where those seminars are, they can do that.
International Evangelism Association. P.O. Box 22041. 22041, Fort Worth, Texas. The zip is 76122. Billy Hanks. That's spelled in IE.
Hanks is.
Fort Worth.
Big
seminary.
Fort Worth, though, okay. Slide.
Dawson McAllister has got out two manuals that are real good. My assistant here will hold the manual. And assistant two will hold book two. Yes, these are on student relationships. And I feel like they're some of the best material that you can get in counseling with your young people. How about reading off some of the titles there?
All right. Let's just say with this, too, he does student relationship conferences in a city, which is an effort of all the churches in the city. Usually it's an interdenominational effort. We just finished doing one in Atlanta, for instance, with that really cut across the various denominations, had 400, just a little over 400 students that came and last for a week, and he covers these different areas. The Bible, God's will, self-image, loneliness, parents, sex, dating, love, a clear mind, temptation, and notes. Temptation. And it's this is the deal that he was talking about. It's kind of a bubblegum Bill Gothard. It's good stuff. Fine stuff.
It's really good, too. He encourages you to take this manual and teach it to your young people. And this stuff is very, very practical. And it's really good. Second manual just goes a little further in that. Talks about peer pressure and self-discipline, friends. Little yellow manual. And it's real good, too. It's just kind of an extension of this.
Love is and love isn't.
Yeah, love is and love isn't. That's
facing
good.
Death.
Facing death. Some real practical stuff for kids. And
really
it really is good. And it's more of a thing that you take and teach your kids. And they're like, I think, $8 a piece. And
these can be used outside of discipleship for things like Bible
explosion.
Yeah, I've used them in George explosion.
Explosion, Bible study.
Don't have a good sermon.
Church training. Those kinds of times.
How would you use them in Joy Explosion?
Preach them.
Teach them. Speak it. Yeah.
They would not necessarily have a copy.
Oh, no. No.
Okay, but you would simply use it as your resource.
Yeah.
Just tremendous outlines, just spiritual, scriptural principles, and a good outline. He has several guys come to work for him during the summer and do nothing but research and study. And then they write during the summer. So he's got guys researching, dude. Huh?
Yeah, he's
coming out with another one this summer. He's got guys that are researching for him now. And I used to wonder where he got his good messages. He just has guys research them all summer. But they're terrific.
Using that way.
Might be on the phone when you talk.
You're strange. Right. You are strange.
Okay, now. Any questions? Any resources that you have that you'd like to share? Got anything, Jim? Okay. Anybody just want to...
I use a lot of those. This is not talking about high school kids. I use a lot of those with college kids. And I can't meet with them. Send them one of the old men at a time. They work through them themselves. And college kids are really excited about it.
What's that set? There's 9 books in the set.
Designed for the
side.
Yeah, design.
Well, one designed for the side, one
that has
six old
books.
Was, what's the other thing that actually Christian Growth or something like that? Something like that. They got it in here, but one's older and one's newer, and they're just kind of updated to the other one, I think.
I use one of those, Christian Growth, I guess, I can't remember now which one it is, but I use one of those just for Bible study outline on Tuesday afternoons. Mm-hmm. And I've got about 15 kids involved in that. And it's working out really well. They all do their homework.
Great. Okay. Any other ideas on that?
There's an awful lot of material. I think you just have to really be selective. Right?
Right.
And we're getting more and more. I think people really.
Yeah, and I think the key here, one of the keys in all this, I think one of the problems that comes to a seminar like this one is, you get in a conference like this, you get so many ideas that you just feel so overwhelmed that you can't go back and do all. You almost could be defeated instead of helped if you get so many ideas. But I think the key is just to kind of catalog those somewhere, go back through your notes and really catalog those, put them somewhere so that you can get a finger on them and not worry about doing all that stuff at one time. I think that's the key to it. Because you can't do it all.
I think one thing that we ought to talk about maybe is as your kids begin to share, of course they can share at school, but if most of us were in the same shape, you don't have very many prospects, really good prospects for your kids to go out and share with. And this has been a real problem, because it was for me. And the thing that we did was take a piece of paper and draw off like their seating chart at school, their desk, just like you were on top of the classroom looking down, and you were in there, and put, yeah, at school, like you're looking at the top of the room, in the center, of course, you knew their desk. The first week assignment was to get everybody's name and phone number that they sit around in school, first period class. That's the assignment. Tell what they're going to do. Then we designed I shared my group last night, a survey. There are a lot of good surveys. We just designed one that fit what we wanted to know. The last three questions were something like this. After they had asked where they went to church, you know, la, la, la. Do you ever wonder why you're here? What your purpose in life is? Second question was, do you ever have guilt in your life about anything? And I ask the kids to be honest, they'll say yes probably to both of those questions. And the third question is, if there were a way of life that could take care of these two problems, would you want to know about it? And we have very few kids say no. And at that point, they share with them their testimony over the phone and ask if they can meet them at class 5 minutes earlier or stay after school or get together and share their faith. And what I did was each week I'd give them back two of these. I cut them off in their own handwriting and I gave it back to them in an envelope, their assignment for the week. We did not go out from the church on visitation night. And they would pray all week. Their prayer was, boy, Lord, give me a chance to witness to these two people. Next week they'd come back, we'd share about it, and I'd give them two more. Well, by the time they worked around this, they'd changed trimesters, they were in a new class. If not, they just go to second period, and you've got an endless prospect file of people. They're gone forever and ever. A friend of mine, Jim Johnston, has made a commitment to share Christ over the phone with every high school student in his town. And so far, they had called about 700, and over 80 had accepted Christ over the phone. And so he was really excited about that. They were plugging away at it one night a week. They came to the church, used the church phones, and did it, and then went out for pizza after it was over. So I think one of the no matter what you do, if you're not equipping your kids in the area of personal evangelism, you're missing part of your ministry. And we said over and over again, you can't have discipleship without evangelism. You can't have evangelism without discipleship. And in a lot of cases, discipleship doesn't work because we don't ever really get our kids to sharing. And it's not real discipleship. And that's a real fear. Some of your pastors will really like it when they see you not only having discipleship meetings, but the kids are out sharing. My pastor was a case in point. We changed our name, I told you this morning, to Reach Out Families. And we go out sharing. And boy, that made him happy and made me happy. And so this is just one way of getting prospects. A never-ending supply. And then as you begin to have joy explode, you're going to have kids come. And any of you run out of prospects, I can send you some. I have some in the files.
Can you... I have no trouble in my discipleship. My kids are growing in the Word, but where I'm having the problem is instilling in them a desire and a want to go out and witness. Part of the problem, I'm sure, is my fault in that I haven't trained them to do this. Tell me how.
Take them with you. I think that's a number one way to do it. You take a couple kids a week and just go out sharing with kids that you're going to go see anyway. Well, I talked to Frank Palmer about this. He's done an excellent job of this. He gathers up a couple kids every week. He started them. He was a layman. He's here in Spokane, Washington, by the way. He started with one kid in a junior high school Sunday school class just after he'd become a Christian. One kid who was hungry, the rest of them had 6 or 8 kids. And at the end of the year, I think he had 85 kids in his class. And he just began to work with one boy, and the two of them began to go, and a very unlikely kid, and the two of them began to go out sharing together 2 or 3 times a week, just talking to other kids about Christ, talking to some other guys' friends about Christ, and out of that, some other kids they talked to. I think that's really the key, to take them out with you. We got the WOW program, you got the WIN program, you got the LIFE program, you got all these things. And I think it helps kids to know those skills. But the best way to teach them those skills is to take them out, take them with you, let them ask questions. Then you show them some things, and then let them try it. I think that's by far the best way to do it. You might kick that off with some kind of a witness training thing at your church or something like that, so that you can create an awareness and some basic skills. But I think the ultimate way to do it is to do that.
Well, we sent.
There are a zillion ideas here. Why do you want to start?
Okay. Our basic plan of Joy Explosion in Pasadena, for 2 years we struggled with this. We'd have 30 or 40. During the summer we'd hit 100. And that was when we just pulled out all the stops, and really did it. And I really fought the thing. We had it on Tuesday night in a home. We tried having it in different homes. Finally, we went to a Wednesday night at 8:15 after prayer meeting. I wanted to have it during prayer meeting. Our pastor didn't. A few months later, he came to me and said, I think you ought to have that during prayer meeting. And at that point, I didn't think we ought to. I said, no. Finally, about 3 months later, we got together on it. And at the first of January, we really aggressively got after Joy Explosion. All this time, even when we moved it back to 8:15, Joy Explosion is designed to reach lost kids. And if you're not having anybody but your kids coming, you're really not having Joy Explosion, as we're talking about now. Joy Explosion can take on a lot of different shapes, evangelistic Bible studies, but the key there is where you bring the whole bunch in and share Christ with them. And give them an opportunity to respond. And boy, I was doing this, and I'd given many an invitation, and nobody had come. I'd have rededications every week. But finally, the first of this year, I just made a commitment we were going to do it. And we had a special speaker in. We did it. We had a stand-up, come-forward invitation. And just happened that night, one of the key kids in one of the schools had accepted Christ, and he came forward, and that did it. Since that time, our joy explosions have grown to the point where we're having 175 to 200 there, and we're growing every week. We just keep adding. Last week, we had a special thing. We went in with our adults, and we had over 700 there. So we're doing something big and special once every 6 weeks.